Listen to the account of the entry into Jerusalem as recorded by Mark, chapter 11. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing, untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12.
I've been gone for 2 weeks, and I need to tell a few stories. 2 weeks ago, I was supposed to have been here, and Owen Burkholder, the conference minister, was supposed to have installed the new lead pastor at Harrisonburg Mennonite Church, but his brother-in-law passed away, and he was at a funeral in Ohio and asked that I would be there instead. And what I experienced there was a profoundly moving service where a church that had gone through some struggles over the last year had a service of healing and anointing. And there were not many dry eyes in that place. And I saw church council members who had walked with each other through the challenging journey in tears and in hugging each other after the service. I saw the Spirit of Christ there and witnessed the power of God's transforming love. And last weekend I was with a Sunday school class from that church. They had asked me about 9 months ago if I could lead a retreat for them. And we were together, and I gave a presentation Saturday evening and Sunday morning, and it was good to see the power of their commitment to each other and the good news of the gospel. I regret having been gone 2 Sundays. I usually do not like to do that. I have told 2 stories, and they're both true. This is April Fool's Day, and I am inviting you to imagine that much of the rest of what I will say today is also true, so please stay with me on this one. I don't know that anyone's tried to pull an April Fool's joke on me yet today. I'm not sure, though, so I will not do it in the sermon. I make a commitment to do that. We come to our Holy Week through Palm Sunday, and when I read this scripture, I wonder what Jesus was feeling in his heart. And the clue I get is what happens in Luke as he moves toward Jerusalem and looks at it over the city and weeps. Jesus weeps and says, "Would that you knew what made for peace." And as he moved into Jerusalem with the welcoming call of the crowd, he was riding a donkey. And he was also riding that crowd, that crowd's welcome, that crowd's adulation, that crowd's worship of him. But I'd like to invite you to see this morning that it was the crowd that bucked him off, not the donkey. And why and how that crowd did that is pretty important to the understanding of the gospel and some things around us in our life. So I'd like to ask the question of how, why, and what it means for our lives. We struggle at times with what happens around us. The sermon last Sunday was given by Kristen Sankin in preparation for our church joining with the Justice Ministry of Impact. And 1,500 people joined in John Paul Jones Arena last Monday evening to welcome two movements of justice in our community. But listen very carefully. The crowd there was coached. If they got a negative answer, they would not boo. They would not stir up that crowd energy to go after the politicians who might have said no or yes, but. Crowds are powerful. They are extremely powerful. In the history of the South, they ended up lynching people on very short notice with very undue justice. And it is a powerful dynamic that just happened in this city last week, I think, there was a cash mob. Instead of a flash mob, which has an orchestra pop up in the middle of a shopping mall, or the Alleluia chorus in a food court in a shopping mall in New York, or a dance troupe in a train station in Brussels, a cash mob is not a flash mob, but they show up to support a local business with the power of group activity, giving that business a boost. That's what the crowd thought they were doing to Jesus, giving him a boost in being the Messiah. The power of Jesus' discerning spirit and understanding of human nature, which he demonstrated so many times, led him to see, as he sees each of us today, what was on their hearts and what is on our hearts. We have with us this morning a son of our congregation, Matt Nisley. And I'll interview Matt during the sharing time about his work around the world. But last month he was in Afghanistan, as we heard his parents share with care and concern, during a time of tensions when there were many mobs on the streets calling for some very strong things to have happen. Mobs are powerful. And this one turned on Jesus. Why? Why? Mobs can be right and they can be wrong. This last week in Florida and in Washington, large gatherings or crowds were complaining about the injustice of the killing of a young man in Florida. Before I answer Jesus' question, I'd like to go back to a story that might have inspired Jesus. And that's a story at the end of 2 Chronicles. It's a story about two other mobs. When the crowd from northern Israel had joined with Aram, the enemy of Judah, and taken captive the young men of Judah, their fellow Israelites, the prophet Oded stood against that crowd and said, "No, release those men." And then the new king Hezekiah said, "We want to heal this group." And he organized a gathering and sent out letters to northern Israel and Judah welcoming everyone to the temple for the Passover time to be a healing time. They even delayed it 7 days and invited the power of God's work healing that community that had been deeply divided. And it was. There's a small verse there that said heaven was open and was happy and smiled. So Jesus, as he moved to Jerusalem, very aware of the divisions there, very aware of the divisions in the human heart and how quickly each of our hearts can turn with a crowd for or against something or some person. Jesus knew something about human nature. So this morning I want to look into our lives, in our society, into our world, because in Lent, we look around. The sermon title says what? The sermon title is a brief quote from The sermon title is a brief quote from Mark 11. It's one phrase in there. And it's the phrase of what Jesus did. It's a curious phrase. And then And then he entered Jerusalem and went to the temple, and here's the phrase, and when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Jesus was sizing up the place. He was looking around at everything. He looks at us. He looks at our world and how we live in it. And the sense of the power of God's being in Jesus Christ that morning meant that some particular things happened. What happened in Jesus' day? With crowds like in our day, there's some strange behaviors. They evoke envy, emulation, and jealousy. Crowds can move against people that they think got too much benefit. Watch how media happens. As soon as a celebrity gets raised up, the articles about them cutting them down try to balance it. So what is the envy in the crowd with the various players working? What happens with Jesus and the power centers around him, the religious and the political and the social groups? They start going for him during that week. Envy attacks the person who possesses much, and Jesus was given the adulation on Palm Sunday of being the Messiah. And jealousy defends what we have, and the crowd thought it was defending what it had in turning on Jesus later. So the crowd began to move against Jesus, who knew their hearts and knew that they did not know what made for peace. So when Jesus looked around him, as he looks in our lives, in our society, in our world, he sees some things we do not see. And that is the purpose of Lent, drawing us inward. In our society, Jesus sees in the image of God some things we do not see. In our own church's history, there were 30 years of celebrating Palm Sunday in the early life of our church. In each of those 30 years, in the 30 years wars of religion in Central Europe, the Calvinists, Lutherans, and Catholics were killing each other along with their princes in the name of their understanding of the faith of Jesus Christ. 30 years of celebrating that same delusion that the crowd that called for Jesus' crucifixion celebrated. That killing was so terrible it led to the Treaty of Westphalia, which defined nation states that we know in the modern era. The people of Europe said enough, while the Mennonites were saying enough 30, 50 years before that. The power of crowd delusion is significant in our world. And the power of our own delusion, when we look in the mirror, is significant too. Because sometimes we cannot see how we join with those crowds or what we do, or others around us cannot see what they do. And we all see through a glass darkly. If you look at the powerful photo in the front of the bulletin, there's glass through which we can see a light that is not as clear as seeing that light directly. God's love and grace joins us in our limited awarenesses of each other in marriage, in family life, in society's life, and in our work life. So what do we do with this Jesus entering Jerusalem? How does he hold us? A few years ago, I was in Damascus, Syria, in our apartment, and I heard a band playing a funeral dirge. It was a powerful band. Drums, trumpets, other instruments. So I went outside to look, and there was a group of guys holding up a casket at an angle. The guys at one end would hold it lower, the guys in the back would hold it higher, and they were turning it around slowly while walking all the way into Babtuma, the Christian quarter of the old city of Damascus. And people were crying and people were angry. And the music was beating, the deep drum beat was pulling the grief out of us. It was the casket of a young man who had died recently in that community in a challenging situation of violence. And the crowd was joining their grief together. And it was riveting. I could not help but be drawn into the emotion of that crowd between the people crying out and the band music and seeing the image of the casket going by. I couldn't help but be pulled in. And so I ask us today on Palm Sunday, what parts of our worlds and our lives and our society and our connections to the broader world where we can't help but being pulled into something that may not be good for us or for our society or for our world? I invite us to ask the question of Palm Sunday, because the reality is, in the traditional church, these branches that are waved in adulation are then burned in a fire. And that fire is let burn out, and the ashes from Palm Sunday are kept until the next Lent and are used for the ashes on Ash Wednesday, acknowledging that we all have sinned, even in our adulation, which is misplaced or misdirected. We hold the broken image of our own sinfulness. And so that's how we hold each other and the world in God's grace. Let us pray. Creator Spirit, you have called each of us to know you in your image fully in the face of Jesus Christ, who in the power of your love and grace wept over Jerusalem and said, "Would that you knew what made for peace, O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem." May the power of those tears and that voice speak to us this morning, to each of our names. O you, would that you knew what made for peace, so that we may hold our involvements in this world in light of that grace and truth in Jesus' heart, to see through to the core and the spirit of what is happening. Give us discernment, O Lord, in our lives. The discernment of Palm Sunday, of Jesus is riding the donkey and the crowd and knowing whom would buck him off. Give us a vision to see beyond ourselves and discern this world's failings, so we may be a witness and light to the truth of Christ. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear and the spirit of discernment to know what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ would call us to be and how he would call us to live. We acknowledge the power of your amazing grace in our lives and invite it still to work within us. In Jesus' name, amen.